activate it. Put it on, activate it. Say who you are. Identify. See, you putting it on. See, God give us the armor, but you have to put it on.
Yes.
And when you speak it, when you say who you are in Christ, when you confess who you are, when you know and you are established in it, I mean being established in it.
Hallelujah.
He said, put it on.
Hallelujah.
Pray and put it on. Put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand. He said, stand so many times. Because our enemy that we're coming against, he want us to fall. Because he's a fallen angel.
That's right.
So he want us to fall.
Because
he's fallen. But Paul encouraged these people, take a stand. And one thing I want to do away with. The Roman soldier armor. Let's give them the armor back. Let's go to Isaiah 59. Jesus. Let's go to Isaiah 59 and 17. You know, most people when they talk about the armor of God, they say Paul was so much looking at them Roman soldiers. And this is where you get the armor of God from. Because he was so looking at the soldiers. And this is where he gets it from. But we're going to do like David did. David told Saul, take your armor back. This hasn't been proven.
That's wrong.
David gave Saul the armor that he gave him back when he was going to fight Goliath. Now today I want you to give the Roman soldiers their armor back. Because when we look at the Roman soldiers' armor, it's not as effective as the armor that God wants you to look at, the armor of God. It says, let's start back here in the 16th verse. I'm not going to go up that far, but he was saying that there was no one hollering restore. It was so much going on, but nobody was hollering restore. In the 16th verse, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. People praying. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on the righteousness as a breastplate. Now, this is the armor that Paul saw and where he was getting the armor of God from. He got it from Isaiah, not from the Roman soldiers. People, give the Roman soldiers their armor back. They need it.
Yeah.
The church of God, the church don't need it.
That's right.
This is where Paul got the armor of God from.
Yeah.
He said he took on the righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head.
Hallelujah.
This is where Paul was looking at. He wasn't looking at the Roman soldier. He was looking at Isaiah. Paul, in many of his writings, got things from the Old Testament because he was well-versed in that. But he said, all that I had, I just put it to the side. All that learning I learned at Gamaliel's feet, I put it away. And I let the Lord interpret it to me. I let Jesus gave me the right understanding of it.
Hallelujah.
Okay, he said he put on a breastplate of righteousness and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with the zeal as a cloak. You know,
hallelujah.
Paul got that from Isaiah.
Hallelujah.
And let me tell you how getting the Roman soldier's armor has got it so non-effective. One person said, and I just dropped my head when they was preaching and said this, said, breastplate of righteousness, don't turn your back on the devil, because if you turn your back, God can put nothing back there. And don't turn your back on him, because God was intended that you not turn your back on the devil. I'm like, Lord Jesus. I said, they hadn't read what David said.
Yes.
His shield surrounds me. It goes all around
it's
me.
It's a buckler. That's what that means.
Completely around. All around me. And they were saying, you can't turn your back on the devil because you ain't got nothing back there. Oh, God, they've been listening too much to the Roman soldiers. Today,
hallelujah.
Said today, I want y'all to say it. Said today,
today.
We're giving
the Roman soldiers
their armor back. We're going to Isaiah. Where Paul went and got the armor of God. And it's so much effective. Yeah. Now, you know, if Jesus had to put on the armor, what about you? Mm-hmm. This is Jesus suiting up to come down here.
Yeah.
To handle business.
Yeah.
To take care. Our big brother suited up.
Yes,
he did. Suited up. Put a helmet of salvation on and a breastplate of righteousness. And you know why I know he was so effective? When the enemy came to the garden, to the wilderness, to tempt Jesus, when Satan himself came. See, a lot of times y'all get little demons, y'all don't get Satan himself. You get the little small ones. But Jesus, he got the devil himself came after Jesus. And he thought he was going to make him fall like he made Adam and Eve fell. Mm-hmm. And he kept trying. Think about it. He didn't come until he knew Jesus was hungry and thirsty. Right. He sat there and just waited.
Right.
Just waited, just watching him out. And see, that's what the enemy do. He study you out and try to see your weak points.
He goes
all the way back to your childhood and bring it up. Your weak points, every weak point you have, he's studying it out. He's looking at it. Huh?
Yes.
Trying to see. So he just waited till the 40 days fast was over, then he came. Because he knew that Jesus was hungry.
Yes.
He knew he was alone. He knew all this stuff. So he came to present himself. But he didn't know. He couldn't see that armor that he had on. It was invisible. This is an invisible army.
Yes.
Armor.
Yes.
You know, David, when he took that armor off of Saul, they went, man, you need that for protection. You need that. Put that back on. David said, that ain't been proven. I got one on.
Amen.
I have one on. You can't see it, but I have it on. Because I know my identity in Christ. I know who I am, and I know who he is.
Hallelujah.
See, that when David, Goliath wasn't David's first enemy that he slew. He had to tell him, I done deal with bears. And,
yeah.
I mean, you know, they're like, you know, they were like, okay, he may be having something here. But we see that no matter what the enemy brought to Jesus, he said, if you be the Son of God, I mean, he had just heard God spoke from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son and who I'm well pleased. But he was trying to put some doubt in his mind.
Yes.
Trying to deceive him because he saw him got in line. See, Jesus got in line. You know what Jesus got in line for? To repent. John the Baptist said, get out this line. You know, all the other folks, they really need to be in this line, but not you, Jesus. You're in the wrong line. Jesus said, baptize me. Let it be so, because I'm not just standing for me. I'm standing for the whole wide world, John. Do it. John like, man, you're in the wrong line. This is line for repentance. You don't have nothing to repent of. You don't have no sin. You're in the wrong line. But John had forgot that he was taking on our sin. So he said, let it be so, John. And John had to go ahead and baptize it. Praise God. And so the devil had heard and seen all that. And he had heard that God had spoke from him. You know, some people, they're like, what did he say? What did God say? We heard something. Was it thunder? Was it lightning? Some said, no, that was a voice. Well, the devil heard just what he said, because he was there studying it out. He knew what he said. So when he got in the wilderness, he said, if you be. trying to put a little doubt in there. Now let me tell you, the devil don't have no new tricks.
Amen.
The devil used the same little thing, and that is his mouth, his words, thoughts, putting thoughts in your mind and stuff like that. That's all he did to Eve.
Did God really say
mm-hmm. that? You know, that's what he did. He just said, did God really say that? You know, you'll be just like him, you know, and God didn't really say that. So he put that thought, and he's still using that same little method. Putting thoughts and doubts in your mind. Putting doubts in your mind. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. God called me this, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to. You have anointing that's abide in you.
Yeah.
You got an anointing that abide. The anointing lives in you.
Amen. That's the power.
Okay? So if you focus more on the greater one that's in you than he that's
Amen.
In the world, you can stand. But let's go back to Ephesians 6. And this is what I want you to get today if you don't get nothing else. That we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, helping us to stand.
Yes,
amen. If you think about the greater one on the inside helping you to stand, you can stand better.
Yes.
You don't have to fall. Because the word of God said he keep you from falling. The Holy Spirit will. But we're so conscious on the devil. It's a devil behind everything. And you can't stand like God wants you to stand. But God wants the people of God to take a stand. You know, I'm just going to say it. I was very sad about these great pastors, if I call them by name, you would know them. They couldn't tell homosexual. They said, we don't know if you're gay or what, that you would go to heaven or not. We just don't know. We don't have answers for it. We don't have answers for that community. I said, I have an answer for them. They must be born again. If they don't want to be born again, just like he told Nicodemus, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. They said, well, when they talking about the kingdom of heaven, they was talking about the principle. I said, you're alive. You won't be going to heaven. If you're not born again, you must be born again.
Yes, amen.
Y'all need to tell these folks the truth. Someone will come out and get delivered. I mean, that panel was up there with just, I mean, they didn't want to say. And one of them just said, yeah, they can go. I'm like, God, help us. The people that we thought that would take a stand against it are just act like they don't know what's going on.
Preaching smooth things.
They just wouldn't say the whole show. They wouldn't say so. Nobody knew what was what. Nobody had an answer for it. I said, Jesus, the word of God got an answer. That's your stand.
Amen.
Go by what the word says.
Yeah, not just
not by what you feel. See, let me tell you, that community has almost taken over. They're everywhere. And that's the reason they didn't want to take a stand. In Canada, if you take a stand on that, you get put in jail.
I've been
so they didn't want to take a stand. On it, because they everywhere, they in high places, everywhere. I mean, you know, and they couldn't figure out, they didn't have no answers for it. I went, Lord, help the body of Christ.
Yes, Father.
We need a move.
Yes.
When I heard that panel talk like that, I said, Lord, we need a move.
Yes.
You gotta move.
They might not be in the body of Christ.
They the big ministers. They in the body of Christ. They preach Jesus. They talk in tongues. But yet don't want to take a stand. They probably could have got some of the people delivered there that day. But they wouldn't take a stand. Okay. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. but against principality, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, not the world he's trying to get you to, the spiritual world, the realm that he's trying to get you to. They can't rule that world. And that's the world that the enemy keep pulling the church in. Jude said they have crept in unaware. The church not even aware of what's going on. But in this realm of God, they can't rule. Darkness cannot rule. The light overcomes it every time. So that's the reason Paul is trying to get you out of just the five senses. The enemy, I'm going to tell you, since I don't have much time, I'm just going to teach it this way. The enemy is really after your mind. That's what he's really, like he was after Eve's mind. He's trying to draw you into the five senses, things that you can see, touch, smell, because Eve went over there and she touched, she looked at it. She said, it does look good for eating. Boy, it looks good. It was looking really good. And then she tasted. And see, when the enemy gets you into the five sense realm, you know he can win in that realm. But he can't win in your spiritual realm, the realm that Jesus is trying to keep you in. So, because see, victory has already been won in the spiritual realm. Well, Jesus has already got the victory. And so he don't want you doing that five sense realm where you can see, touch, and smell. But the enemy do. But we see here spiritual weakness in high places. They're in high places. They're everywhere. Now, actually, what Paul is saying here, that's the government of the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness have a government just like Jesus, the kingdom of light, have a government. They both have governments. And Isaiah saw that the government was upon Jesus' shoulder in Isaiah. He said, the government shall be upon his shoulders. And some of the preachers tell you that's when Jesus come to rule. The government was on his shoulder was the cross that was on his shoulder. He brought back in rulership for the body of Christ. We can rule. Yes, Jesus is going to come back and sit on the kingdom and rule that way. But we are in a government. If you didn't know it, Paul said you are ambassadors. You are kings. You are priests.
Right. And as he is.
He said you are that way. That's what, can you give me a cup of water, sweetie?
Yes, ma'am.
He said that is how you go to rule. We have a government. Well, the kingdom of darkness got a government too. And Paul was describing that government. But in the first chapter, he showed us that our feet was on the principality and power. They were under our feet. Not ruling us, but we are ruling. And see, we rule from heaven. We rule from the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what we're ruling from.
That's right. Amen.
But if we don't take our stand, we will fall. But know that the Holy Spirit in you to help you to stand. See, the devil wants you to think you're standing by yourself. But when you put on the armor of God, you're putting on Christ.
Amen.
But you got to activate it.
Amen.
When you come to Christ, you're protected, you this, you that. But if you don't put it on, what you already have activated, you know, they can send you a credit card in the mail. And you have it. It's in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
But if you never activate it, you can't use it.
That's right.
You go to use it, they say, no, you can't use that one. This hasn't been activated. You got to activate it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to activate it. Put it on. Speak it.
Mm-hmm.
We do it through... Time is just about up. We do it through the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, he tells us to put on. Okay, let me just read just a little bit more of this. He's telling us to take that stand. In the 14th verse, he said, have your loins girt about with truth. Now, the reason he said, have your loins girt about with truth, because your enemy is a liar. You're dealing with a liar. If you're dealing with a liar, you need truth. Okay?
Jesus is the truth.
Amen. Amen. So, Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth.
Yes, he is.
He's on the inside, the greater one on the inside of you. He's helping you. The one on the inside is helping you to stand. You're not standing on your own, in your own strength. But you got an inside help to help you to stand and get victory every time. This was designed to get victory. How many times?
Every
now and then.
Every time,
if you do it his way.
That's right.
I've got to run down here and read this. And take the helmet of salvation. You know, that's what we read about in Isaiah. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God has got to be established in your heart.
Amen.
When Jesus came against the enemy in the wilderness, he just told me it's written. You know, one girl said, all I got to do is say it's written. I said, no, babe, we got to go a little deeper than that. You got to say what is written. You got to know what's written.
Yeah.
And believe it.
And believe it. We get into that part. And see, Jesus had a revelation of what he was saying. It was rhema. It wasn't just the written word.
Yeah.
He was speaking the written word from the rhema word.
Yeah.
From the revelation that he had of it. And the devil knew he meant business. He said, well, okay, I'm going to do this final thing on you. I'll take you. I know you came for the kingdoms of the world. So I give you all the kingdom of the world if you just bow down and worship me. Jesus came back with scripture. He didn't just say it is written. Like the girl said, all I got to do is say it's written. No, you got to say what is written. And you got to know it. You got to say it with a revelation. Okay, my time is up, but we, as we studied the counterattack and studied spiritual warfare, we see that we already have the victory. We already win. But let's, in our next lesson, we're going to go to page 86, the charismatic renewal, and then the one after that. Well, everything after that, because that's going to be November. So we got to have everything after that. Okay, but that's where you can start, okay?
You spoke of all the relationships.
Huh?
You spoke about all the relationships which we have, Father. Parents and children, which is a shadow of father and son and us. But the one relationship you didn't mention was friendship. When we are fighting the battle, friends can be called alongside.
Almost definitely.
When your family may abandon you, sometimes your church even may abandon you. If they're not word people, and you are.
That's
but
true.
Those friends that are called along, God called Abraham his
That's good.
Friend.
Ooh, good.
And Jonathan and David had a soul tie. They were
good.
Friends. And not only did he take care of Jonathan, but he took care of his son.
Yes.
Friendships, as God has told me, is scaffolding
around you. Keep going. It never stops.
Yeah.
Is scaffolding around you while he's working. You've got those stronger friends around you to spread, to pray.
That's good you brought out that relationship.
Yes.
We're talking about every relationship.
Yes.
I didn't go down into all of them because I didn't have time. But when you go into relationship, suit up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the enemy works against all kinds of relationship. husband and wife, like he worked against Adam and Eve the first.
Right, husband and wife.
Husband and wife. And they were fussing at each other, blaming each other, and you know, I'm gonna tell you, wasn't no peace there with them blaming each other. No, Adam, you supposed to have been the man. If you had took your place.
He does, this one does.
I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about Adam. But if you had taken your place, when I gave you that, Adam, you just took it and ate it. You didn't say, I mean, they were just going back and forth.
Yeah.
We have to contend for our godly relationship.
Yes, we do.
We have to.
The enemy is out. You have to contend.
Come on.
Jesus has your back. God has your back. Mm-hmm. But he gives you earthly relationships to also. Teachers.
Oh, yeah.
Friends and family.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. So you're not standing alone.
No.
Yeah.
You got the greater one on the inside of you, mm-hmm. and then you got the church, you got friendship, you got, all kinds of relationships.
Amen.
This girl told me some years ago, she said, Sister Mary, I love you a lot, but I thought you thought this way about me. I said, that thought came from the devil.
Yes.
When thoughts, I ain't had that thought. I look at my sisters and brothers from the spirit. I know I'm after the spirit, not after the flesh.
Right.
And I said, I don't have that about you.
Hallelujah.
I said, all I do is love you.
Yeah.
I don't have that thought about you.